Welcome back to Money in America with Randall Turner. Today, my special guest is Apostle Claver. Apostle is with RagingElephants.org. Apostle, welcome aboard.
It's my pleasure, Randy.
What on earth is Raging Elephants?
Good question, because we intended it to be one thing, and it's kind of turning out to be a whole nother creature. The initial focus of RagingElephants.org is to grow the conservative voting base through racial diversity.
What does that mean?
In a nutshell. Well, the demographic trajectory of our major states and, quite frankly, of the nation, the electorate, to use a phrase from a Democratic pollster, is turning browner. by 2036, 2035, America is going to look like California or Texas, where I'm talking to you from now, in Houston. Now, both in California and Texas, Caucasians are no longer the majority of the population. Here in Texas, Caucasians are about 48% of the population.
Wow.
Hispanics are about 36, and African Americans are about 12 to 13. Hmm. Those numbers are going to be national in about 25 years, quarter of a century. The problem is that the conservative voting base, and to be more specific, the Republican Party, is diametrically opposite to that reality now and the trajectory going forward. Close to 90% of the GOP and the conservative movement is Caucasian.
That's a weirdo.
So if you don't go out and you don't bring diversity into the conservative movement, if you don't stop the monolithic voting patterns of African Americans primarily, the ability for conservatives to win elections in the future is going to be diminished greatly. This great election that we had in 2010, these types of victories nationally on a statewide basis, depending on where you live, countywide basis, depending on where you live, will be far and few between. So our primary thrust is to identify conservatives of color and then persuade them, convert them to begin voting their values, which they are not doing right now.
Why do you say that? Why are they not voting their values?
Well, there's a number of reasons. I mean, there's entire, you know, college courses that are taught on this dynamic. There are books, you know, volumes of books written about this, from the left and the right, I would presume, certainly on the left. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's college degrees that are offered in the dynamics that continually perpetuate this phenomena of voters of color not voting their values and being, if you will, enslaved to the socialist agenda of the Democratic Party, of the left, of progressives, of socialists, and their belief that these candidates and so-called public servants have their best interest at heart, when in fact their policies are decimating the African American and Latino community. The problem is that the right has made a very feeble attempt to illuminate this disconnect that, you know, the communities of color are voting for people who don't share their conservative Judeo-Christian values, ethics,
right,
belief system. And so someone has to take the lead in educating, informing, and persuading these voters of color to begin looking at their traditional, generational, habitual voting patterns and considering making a change, breaking away from the plantation. This is why we say at RagingElephants.org we're leading America's second emancipation.
But you obviously realize that change is very, very difficult. Yeah, people say they want change, but to change is very difficult. If you remember your marketing course in college, you know, the early adopters, the ones who are willing to sit out there on a limb and change, are the ones who take all the arrows. And after that, then the masses finally agree that the early adopters have something that they want. you're obviously doing something that's very, very hard, but not impossible. Yeah. What have you seen so far as – let me back up here a minute. A lot of people in this part of the country where we are in New York and Pennsylvania have not seen your billboards. Tell me about your billboards. What do they do? What do they address? And what kind of reaction have you got from?
Well, the reaction has been varied. Let me start at the tail end of your question. It's been varied. Of course, the left is up in arms. The media finds it intriguing or are looking for, you know, the reason behind it and what's the story. They're always looking for the story, see if they can twist it some sort of way. For us, it serves two purposes. One, we wanted to plant a flag in liberal territory. We always put our billboards up. Well, the ones in the future are going to be kind of spread out because it's going to sort of be a different marketing campaign. But we put our billboards in what we know is Democrat liberal territory, where we know it's, you know, blue Black Panther territory, deep blue precincts.
Right.
Because we're planting a flag. And we're planting this flag, we're making a statement, we're saying that conservatives, at least a faction of us, are no longer going to ignore this community. We are making a concerted, determined, purposeful effort to penetrate what I call the blue force field. this is a very conscious attempt to say we're coming. We're no longer going to ignore these voters of color. We're not going to allow them to be the property of the Democratic Party and the progressive socialist agenda. We're going to go in. We're going to inform. We're going to educate. We're going to challenge. We're going to persuade, and we're going to offer conservative solutions. In my case, hyper conservative solutions to their very legitimate problems. Okay. They need alternatives. They need to hear other perspectives, other viewpoints. And so that's the purpose of one purpose of the billboard. The next one is that we don't mind stirring up a little controversy. We don't mind stirring up the hornet's nest a little bit. We're prepared for that. We understand that. We understand we're going to take those arrows that, you know, they're going to be sending, you know, catapults with fiery projectiles towards us. We know this. We're prepared for this. We took on this undertaking fully aware of what the dynamics are. But somebody has to get the swine excrement off the conservative GOP brand. And you have to begin changing the perception of conservatism. You have to begin changing the public opinion in the communities of color of what the Republican Party stands for. The RNC chairmen on a national, state, and county level are doing an abysmal job of doing that. They don't know how to change perception. Perception is very, very powerful. You know, as some have said, perception is reality. And so before you can begin changing the demographic makeup, the first thing you have to do is you have to make it cool to be a conservative. You have to make it cool to be in the GOP. So our billboards are designed to bring an image of diversity. What's going to come first, the diversity or the perception of diversity?
Very good. Yes, perception obviously is everything. So give our listeners an example. What do your billboards actually say on them?
Well, there's two that we have out there right now. The first one that really causes a ruckus, the one that a year ago kind of put us on the map nationally, all the national media picked it up, was the one that says Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican. They didn't like that. The left didn't like that at all. And the footage from yours truly going nose to nose with Quanah Lex, who is the leader of the new Black Panther Party here in Houston, that went viral and went all over the nation, and so national media picked that up. And the other one is, it's cool to be in the GOP. GOP is the new black. And in this billboard, and people can see it on our website, RagingElephants.org. I invite everybody to take a look at that one. And on this billboard, what you have is a collection of youthful African Americans, you know, in modern clothes, that are given a depiction that, you know, African Americans are welcomed in the Republican Party. And so, of course, it's a play off of the fashion phrase, you know, black is the new black, or pink is the new black, or brown is the new black, or whatever. You know, every fashion season, a new color is the new black. And so, in this instance, we're saying GOP is the new black.
So what kind of...
Be a Republican is... Because when you have conversations with African Americans, I mean, just recently I had a conversation with a lifelong friend who knew me, you know, when I was a child. She knows my politics now, and she stated simply, well, I'm black, so I'm a Democrat. Well, this is enslavement. And we should be attributing and saying good job and applauding the Democratic Party for being able to take their brand and tying it to racial identity, to where if you're not a Democrat, if you're anything else, especially you're a Republican, then your, quote, blackness, end of quote, is questioned. You become a sellout. You become a Sambo, an Uncle Tom, an Oreo. You know, all the pejoratives because you're not a Democrat.
So is that how they look at Michael Steele then? Is Michael,
go right ahead, Randall.
Well, Michael Steele is the Republican National Committee chairman. Is that how they view Michael Steele then? Is he's a sellout?
Yeah, a token.
And what about Watts? You know.
He's out of the public eye. I mean, he hasn't been in Congress since the 90s. He's out of the public eye.
There's very few. But he was a real conservative.
In essence, let's really break it down and get to the foundational problem of the GOP.
Okay, what is it?
All right, so let me give you an example. If everybody that's listening right now to Money in America's radio program could rewind to 2008 and the national conventions, and if you were looking at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, what would you see on the TV screen? Remember, perception is reality. And what you would see is one-third white, one-third black, one-third brown,
right.
And they're all holding hands, and they're singing, you know, get on the love train or whatever,
right,
you know?
Right.
Now, an African-American or a Latino looks at that image and says, that's where I belong. Now, they, en masse, do not agree with what's being said from the podium of the Democratic National Convention. But because perception is so powerful, they say, that's where I belong, because I see people both on stage in positions of power and in the delegation that look like me. So obviously that's where I belong. Now, fast forward 1 week later to the Republican National Convention in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and you had less than 40 black delegates to a national convention. This points to a foundational, fundamental problem in the Republican Party, setting Michael Steele aside. Why? Now, I don't know how it's done in New York. I don't know how it's done in Pennsylvania, but let me tell you how it's done in Texas when it comes to electing delegates to the national convention.
Okay.
First, you have to go to your precinct convention. So after a primary vote is taken in a presidential election year, that night after the polls close, people who are concerned and involved in politics that are active have to go to a precinct convention. From there, you are elected a delegate to what's known as the senatorial or county convention. And then from there, you have to be elected to go to the state convention.
Okay.
And from there, you have to be elected to go to the national convention. Now, Maryland is kind of different. New York may be different. California may be different. But the bottom line is, when you go through that process of picking national delegates to the national convention, you had less than one delegate per state. This is a foundational problem in the Republican Party. So you can set Michael Steele aside. When they turn that television on and they don't see anybody in that convention, and the only person of color they see on stage is Michael Steele, they're going to say something is wrong here. And they are right. There is a foundational problem in the Republican Party.
But it's almost what comes first, the chicken or the egg. I gotta get the African American community to get involved to send them to the caucuses to get them elected to the national. You know, how do I break the cycle? And obviously, you're onto something. But
well, the first thing in our theory, and we want to eventually bring hypothesis to theory to law, is you illuminate the fact that they are conservative. They don't understand the definition of conservatism. They think it's a lifestyle. It's a political ideology. You have to understand that when there's polling that shows they equate conservatism with racism, yet in our polling, and we have polled thousands upon thousands of people in multiple states because we are a national organization, the vast majority, right now, over 80% of African Americans, solid middle class, registered voters, self-identify as Democrat, are classified, grayed out to be conservative, are strong conservatives. So our way of thinking, issue number one is educate them. Let them know who they really are and what they stand for. Now, when I've had personal conversations with my barber and have polled them, and their eyebrows go up, and all of a sudden you see the light bulb go off, and they say, gee, I always knew I was a conservative. So you have this blindness,
right,
through a monolithic voting population, primarily African Americans, who still really hold more political power than the Latinos do, more economic and political power than the Latinos do, although Latinos are the larger community of color and are growing faster.
Right. Although even around here, I've seen more and more Latinos get involved with the Republican Party, which really amazed me and kind of gives me a little bit of hope around here. Yeah, the dynamics have obviously got to change. I think you're doing an awesome job changing perception, because perception becomes reality. What successes have you seen in terms of cold, hard, tangible facts? What can you point to as successes so far?
I cannot trumpet huge movements in voters like we would like to see going forward towards the 2020s and 2030s. Like you have said before, it's going to take time. And the only way you're going to actually be able to measure the progress is on election day. That's the only way. I mean, the number of people that show up to forums or maybe in between elections, the recruitment of precinct chairs, and I mean, maybe one measurement, but the only way you're really going to be able to measure is on election day. Now, we're also politically involved with directing campaigns, and this was our first election cycle in 2010. And we directed two state house campaigns, state rep campaigns here in Texas. We purposely limited our activity, putting operatives in campaigns and directing those campaigns for a purpose. We wanted to test our theories. We wanted to test ourselves to see if we really have the political acumen that we think we have. And we got it 500. We did two. And we elected an African-American Republican in East Texas, which is a hard nut to crack.
Wow.
He beat a liberal Democrat, Caucasian, 13-year incumbent with committee chairmanships by 16 points.
Wow. That's impressive.
And when that candidate ran, you know, the powers that be, the establishment in Austin said, well, white folks aren't going to vote for him because he's black, and black folks aren't going to vote for him because he's Republican. Wrong. And we ran a campaign for an African-American lady with very little political acumen and experience,
right,
in Southeast Austin, the People's Republic of Austin. And although she lost by a wide margin, she did pick up the largest percentage of votes in that part of Travis County of Austin, Texas, has been done in almost 20 years.
Wow. That's impressive.
So the theories are being proven. Here in Texas, we in 2011, the odd years, we focus, we have municipal elections. And with Harris County and Houston being a major city, soon to be the third largest city in the country, and Harris County, the second largest county in the country, surpassing Chicago and Cook County, we're going to be focusing very heavily going forward on municipal elections, once again, to advance our theories, to grow our support system, our network, and, quite frankly, to build a machine.
From the bottom
our goal is by 2014, any candidate we get behind will win. That's our goal.
Apostle, we're running out of time. One last question. How can people support you?
Go to the website, RagingElephants.org. They can do one of two things or both. First, we are a grassroots organization, and we survive by individual donations. Click on that donate button. And please consider being a recurring donor, whether it's $10, $25, $50 a month. You know, $50 down here is a tank of gas. You know, can you sacrifice, you know, a tank of gas per month? The recurring donations allow us to more shrewdly know what's going to be coming in to our coffers on a monthly basis. It allows us to budget more wisely and attract cash flow. So one-time donations are great. We appreciate it. But if it means that one time that your donation is smaller than that one-time donation, let's say $100 one time versus $10 a month, we would opt out. We would opt for the $10 a month. We would know what's coming in, and we're able to spread our billboards, spread our television commercials, which you can view at RagingElephants.org, make more print ads that would go into black community newspapers across the country, and do our grassroots organizing and activism that it takes funding to be able to do that. The second thing is open a door for us in wherever you live. I mean, we're in Missouri, Kansas, Ohio, Rhode Island, Maryland, Virginia, California, New Mexico. If the people of Pennsylvania want us to come in and begin working in the West and Eastern Pennsylvania, the people of upstate New York want us to come in and begin organizing there, well, it's going to take people who will say, hey, we're rolling out the red carpet for you. Bring your program up to Western New York. Hey, bring your program in the heart of Manhattan or Harlem. Let's see what we can do about moving some people to the conservative column when it comes to voting. Contact us, RagingElephants@gmail.com, or simply go to the website, RagingElephants.org, and say, hey, I want to work, I want to be a deputy, I want to be a field director right where I live in Pittsburgh or Latrobe or Pennsylvania or Philadelphia or Hershey or wherever, and let's get the job done.
Right. This has been Apostle Claver with RagingElephants.org, and this is Randall Turner with Money in America.